Blog Talk Radio.
These are efforts done in humility, aware of our total and utter dependence on God, our interdependence with one another, and the need for love to motivate us in all things. So aware that we are not always in this attitude, let us sing it one more time. And allow the Lord to lift us from any darkness, any depression, into His marvelous light.
Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord.
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 To lift us up, no matter how far deeply we have fallen, no matter how dark the darkness may seem. Jesus is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He is light from light, God from God, true God from true God.
Jesus is the King of Kings.
This is the Deeper Truth Radio program, and today we have the Novena to the Holy Spirit through Pentecost. The Mass is the source of the purpose, the passion, and the power. God the Father is the purpose, God the Son is the passion, God the Holy Spirit is the power. The God of heaven comes to us through His Eucharistic presence. Jesus is truly present, body, blood, soul, and divinity. Holy Spirit, Lord of light, from your clear celestial height, your pure beaming radiance give, the Holy Spirit. Only one thing is important, eternal salvation. Only one thing, therefore, is to be feared, sin. Sin is the result of ignorance, weakness, and indifference. The Holy Spirit is the spirit of light, of strength, and of love. With the sevenfold gifts, he enlightens the mind, strengthens the will, and inflames the heart with the love of God. To ensure our salvation, we ought to invoke the Holy Spirit daily. The Spirit helpeth our infirmity. We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself asks us. Prayer. Almighty and eternal God, who has vouchsafed to regenerate us by water and the Holy Spirit, and has given us forgiveness of all sins, vouchsafed to send forth you from heaven, upon us your sevenfold spirit, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and fortitude, spirit of knowledge and piety, and fill us with the spirit of holy fear. Amen. Act of consecration to the Holy Spirit. On my knees before the great multitude of heavenly witnesses, I offer myself, soul and body, to you, eternal Spirit of God. I adore the brightness of your purity, the unerring keenness of your justice, and the might of your love. You are the strength and light of my soul. In you I live. and move and am. I desire never to grieve you by unfaithfulness to grace, and I pray with all my heart that I be kept from the smallest sin against you. Mercifully guard my every thought and grant that I may always watch for your light and listen to your voice and follow your gracious inspirations. I cling to you and give myself to you and ask you by your compassion to watch over me in weakness, in my weakness. Holding the pierced feet of Jesus and looking at his five wounds and trusting in his precious blood and adoring his open side and stricken heart, I implore you, adorable Spirit, helper of my infirmity, to keep me in your grace that I may never sin against you. Give me grace. O Holy Spirit, the Spirit of the Father and the Son, to say to you always and everywhere, speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. Amen. Prayer for the seven gifts of the Holy Spirit. O Lord Jesus Christ, who before ascending into heaven did promise to send the Holy Spirit to finish your work in the souls of your apostles and disciples, deign to grant the same Holy Spirit to me, that he may perfect in my soul the work of your grace, and by your love grant me the spirit of wisdom, that I may despise the perishable things of this world and aspire only after the things that are eternal. The spirit of understanding to enlighten my mind with the light of your divine truth. The spirit of counsel, spirit of understanding rather, to enlighten my mind with the light of your divine truth, the spirit of counsel, that I may ever choose the surest way of pleasing God and gaining heaven, the spirit of fortitude, that I may bear my cross with you and that I may overcome with courage all the obstacles that oppose salvation, my salvation, the spirit of knowledge, that I may know God and know myself and grow perfect in the service of the saints, the spirit of piety, that I may find the service of God sweet and amiable, and the spirit of fear, that I may be filled with a loving reverence towards God and may dread in any way to displease him. Mark me, dear Lord, as with the sign of your true disciples and animate me in all things with your spirit. Amen. St. Leopoldo Modovic Novena. God Almighty Father, you made St. Leopoldo a rich source of your grace for all who had recourse to him. Through his intercession, may we live our lives in love, relying entirely on your will and strong in the hope of your promise. Glory be to the Father. God, you show your almighty power most clearly when you grant mercy and forgiveness to sinners. You made St. Leopold an outstanding witness to his ministry in the sacrament of reconciliation. Grant us the grace to celebrate the sacrament joyfully and so experience your great love. Glory be to the Father. God, our Father, through the Christ, your Son, who died and rose to life, you redeemed us and you gave us St. Leopoldo as a fatherly presence to comfort and guide us in our trials. Pour into the heart of your certainty, the certainty of your presence and help. Glory be to the Father. God, source of communication for all your sons and daughters, you wanted Christ to be the only shepherd of your church. Through the prayers of St. Leopoldo, the silent prophet of spiritual ecumenism, infuse your spirit into us so that we may pray and give our lives for the unity of all who believe in you. God, you wanted Mary to be mother of Christ and mother of the church, and you gave St. Leopoldo a tender devotion to Our Lady. May we know in our own lives her motherly protection and love. God, glorious Lord and Father of life, we entrust to you all our hopes and prayers. Through the intercession of St. Leopoldo, look kindly upon us, your sons and daughters, and hear the prayers you have inspired in us. Through Christ our Lord, amen. We pray for America, for our Constitution, for those suffering addictions and in bondage. For those who need deliverance, we pray for the Catholic Church, for Pope Francis and all the clergy. Eucharistic miracle of Seefeld, Austria. The little city of Seefeld is the goal of many pilgrims because of the Eucharistic miracle that took place there in 1384. During the Holy Thursday Mass, a nobleman by the name of Oswald Milsner expected that the priest would give him communion with a large host. At the moment he was about to receive communion, the pavement began to tremble under him, and Oswald felt that he was being sucked into it. As the priest was returning the host to the altar, live blood began to flow from the sacred species. In the little city of Cecil, Oswald Milsner, Lord of Schlossberg, expected at the Holy Thursday Mass to receive a large host like that of a celebrating priest. But at the moment he was about to receive communion, the pavement began to tremble and broke apart. Oswald grasped the altar so as not to fall, and the priest immediately put back the host from the man's mouth. The trembling stopped, and live blood began to flow from the host. There were many witnesses who saw the miracle, and very soon the news spread throughout the whole nation. The Emperor Maximilian I himself was very devoted to the miracle. Today, one can visit the Church of St. Oswald, where the precious relic of the host, stained with blood, is exposed, and also view many paintings depicting the miracle. I myself, Donald Hartley, known as the Catholic Defender, made a pilgrimage to this church, and you can still see the actual altar where the incident took place. You can see the indent of the handprint. I saw this incredible, where Oswald Miller grabbed for dear life as the floor began to buckle under him. The following video is an inspired song sung Baba Yutu, the Lord's Prayer, sung in Swahili by the Stellenbosch University Choir, made it from East Africa. Did you want to play that, Don? Okay. I want to honor our friends from the Catholic seminaries in Kenya who regularly corresponded with me, many of whom are now today Catholic priests. May the Lord bless their ministry as they lift up the faith despite the continued threat of terrorist Muslims. I have been graced to serve with some of the priests who served in the United States Army as chaplains, coming to America, making this a mission field. Our saints of the day, yes, we have more than one, Saints Philip and James, apostles. Our first reading, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 8, and I believe we have a musical interlude. First Corinthians 15, 1 through 8. I am reminding you, brothers and sisters, of the gospel I preached to you, which you indeed received and in which you also stand. Through it, you are also being saved. If you hold fast to the word I preached to you, unless you believed in vain, for I handed on to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the Holy Scriptures, that he was buried on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures, that he appeared to Cephas, then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 brothers and sisters at once, many of whom were still asleep. After that, he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. Last of all, he appeared to me. Until some, the message God goes out through all the earth. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament proclaims his handiwork. Day pours into the word today, and night to the night imparts knowledge. The message goes out through all the earth, not a word or discourse whose voice is not heard. Through all the earth, the voice resounds, and the end of the world, their message goes out through all the earth. John 14, verse 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life, says the Lord. Philip, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. The Gospel, John 14, verses 6 through 14. Jesus said to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you know me, then you also know my Father. From now on, you do know him have seen him. Philip said to him, Master, show us the Father, and that will be enough for us. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you for such a long time, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own. The Father who dwells in me is doing his works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe because of the works themselves. Amen, amen, I say to you, whoever believes in me will do the works that I do, and will do greater ones than those, because I am going to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, he will do. And so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything of me in my name, I will do it. Saint of the day, Saint Philip and Saint James. Saint Philip was one of the original 12 apostles who grew up in Pisidia on the Lake Genezareth. John 1:44. He was raised around the fishing industry, and he was very close to the brothers of Simon and Andrew, the sons of Bar-Jonah, house of Bar-Jonah, and James and John, who were the sons of Zebedee, Matthew 4:21. St. Philip, as a boy, learned the trade of a fisherman who spent most of his earthly life fishing on the boats constructed for heavy catches. He was strong in his Jewish upbringing, as was committed to the environment. It was common to the environment. He was very familiar with the local synagogue and family life. Through his preparation as a child, St. Philip was ready to follow the King of the Jews, as Jesus would give him the call to follow him, John 1:43. It is from this tradition that St. Philip was an early father of St. John the Baptist and was present when Jesus came walking by. St. John the Baptist recognized his cousin, saying, Behold the Lamb of God. This had a great impact on St. Philip. St. Philip will be responsible for introducing Jesus to St. Bartholomew, Nathaniel, and St. Thomas were companions. Bringing people to Jesus would become a way of life, as Jesus would make them fishers of men and founders of the Catholic faith. Jesus would be their teacher for 3 years during Jesus' public ministry. In the Synoptic Gospels, St. Philip is named with the 12, Matthew 10:2-4, Mark 3:14-19, and Luke 6:13-16. St. John speaks of St. Philip in some of the major events of Jesus preaching to the people. St. Philip was at the wedding feast of Cana, where Jesus performed his first public miracle, changing the water into wine. John 2:1-12, before a great multitude, John 6:5-7 states, Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a multitude was coming to him, Jesus said to Philip, How are we to buy bread so that these people may eat? Then he said to test him, for he knew himself what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii would not be enough bread for each of them to get a little. St. Philip, who clearly was being the realist, was not expecting what Jesus would do before this massive crowd with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread. Who would have known what Jesus was prepared to do? The feeding of the 5,000 would lead to Jesus' bread of life discourse in John 6. Also, St. Philip witnessed Jesus walking on the water on Lake Capernaum. It was dark. A strong wind was developing when Jesus suddenly came upon them about 3 or 4 miles out into the lake. St. John writes how they were frightened. This is an amazing scene, and not surprisingly, they thought Jesus was a ghost, Matthew 14:26. The reality of Jesus' purpose is coming to fulfillment. For St. Philip, this would be a crushing, to have witnessed all the things Jesus said and did, the miracles and the signs given. For he loved Jesus as did the apostles. Jesus told the apostles he was going to Jerusalem to be handed over to the Jews by the Jews to the Romans for crucifixion. But they really did not want Jesus to go there. Matthew 16:21-23. At the Last Supper, St. Philip asked Jesus, Philip said, Lord, show us the Father, and we shall be satisfied. Jesus said to him, Have I been with you so long that you, and yet you do not know me, Philip? You have seen me, you have seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Do you not believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me, I am in the Father, and the Father is in me, or else believe me for the sake of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, that he who believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. After the establishment of the Eucharist and the new and everlasting covenant, that the apostles were made priests to continue the work of the cup, for the cup of salvation, Jesus endured his bloody sweat, his passion and death, which for a short time caused the disciples to scatter and hide him. St. Philip also went through this tragic event, and finally he is with the apostles gathered together when Jesus appears before him, before them. John 20:19-23. St. Philip is also present at the ascension of Jesus and present to replace Judas, choosing Matthias, Acts 1:13. He was present when the Virgin Mary and the other apostles in Jerusalem, when the Holy Spirit came upon the apostles on Pentecost, and was present at the Council of Jerusalem in 49 A.D. St. Luke gives us the story of Philip baptizing the Ethiopian eunuch. But an angel of the Lord said to Philip, rise and go to the south of the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert road. And he rose and went. And behold, an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a minister of the Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, in charge of all her treasure, had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot. He was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, go up and join this chariot. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah, the prophet, and asked, do you understand what you're reading? He said, how can I unless someone guide me? And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this, as the sheep led to the slaughter, or a lamb before its shearer is dumb, he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life was taken up from the earth. And the eunuch said to Philip, about whom, pray, does this prophet say this about? Is about himself or about someone else? Then Philip opened his mouth and began to the scripture. He told him the good news of Jesus. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What's to prevent me from being baptized? Other ancient authorities. And as they went along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, here's water. What is to prevent my being baptized? Other ancient authorities had all or most of it. And Philip said, if you believe with all your heart, you may. And he replied, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And the eunuch baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught up Philip, and the eunuch saw him no more, and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found as Azus, and passing on he preached the gospel of all the towns till he came to Caesarea. That's Acts 26-40. According to tradition, St. Philip with his sister, Mariam and St. Bartholomew, traveled to Greece, Phrygia, and Syria. At the city of Azotus, Nicolaides, a local resident, was cured of an eye affliction and baptized along with the whole family. Because of the acts of St. Philip, many were receiving baptism as he traveled with Mariam to Syria, Asia Minor, Lydia, and Emesa, and undergoing many sufferings. They had been pelted with stones, placed in jail, tossed out of villages. The life of the Apostle Philip was hard, but he endured it for love of Jesus. Upon arriving in the city of Phrygian Hierapolis, St. Philip walked along a city of pagan temples, and there were snake worshippers, one of whom held a live snake. Noted for being huge, he was being worshipped as a god, and St. Philip killed the serpent and healed many bitten by snakes. A young child has died, and St. Philip was begged to come and see the child. The child was raised from the dead. in the city of Hierapolis. After a miraculous healing and the preaching of St. Philip, the wife of the proconsul of the city was converted to the infant Catholic faith. The proconsul took a dim view of that and, with the urging of pagan priests of the serpent, ordered the holy apostles Peter and Bartholomew to be crucified. St. Philip was crucified head down, began preaching from the cross while an earthquake struck havoc among the patients as St. Philip prayed for those who crucified him and interceded for those who endangered the quake. The people were converted to Christ and determined the apostles to be taken down, but St. Philip was near death. As Bartholomew was taken down from the cross and actually served a short time as bishop of Armenia, he was skinned alive, crucified, and beheaded. Mariam would also continue to preach until her death in Lyconia. It was reported on Turkish News on Wednesday, July 7, 2011, that an archaeologist discovered the tomb of St. Philip through excavation close to the Turkish city of Denizli. Writings on the wall of the tomb identify the person was the martyred apostle of Jesus. The Italian archaeologist, Professor Francesco Tiaria, discovered an ancient church where the tomb is located. In pictures of St. Philip, you will see the symbols of the Latin crosses, two loaves of bread, a basket full of bread, a spear with patriarchal cross, and a carpenter square that depicts his building the infant Catholic faith. St. Philip is the patron saint of hatters, and his feast day is May 3rd. St. James. Yes, we have two of them this
morning. Mike.
Time. Yes.
Mike, before we get, let me get to that saint of the day, because that is so good, and that was so powerful about Philip. Very powerful.
Uh-huh.
So, before we get
ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. Well, I'm not Donald Hartley, and he's resting his voice. Our second saint of the day is St. James, St. James the Less, and he's noted as Less to distinguish him from James, the brother of St. John, and the son of Zebedee, who was called James the Greater, the reason being that James the Less was a younger man and age has its rank and privileges. A better translation would be James the Younger. Today's story is about James the Less, who was the son of Cleophas, John 19:25, also known as Alphaeus, and Mary, a close relative of the Virgin Mary. James was a cousin of Jesus, who was oftentimes referred to as a brother of the Lord. Close relatives were regarded as brothers in those times and in that culture, Matthew 13:55, Mark 4:6, and Galatians 1:19. Interestingly, St. Luke never called James the Less as a brother of the Lord, but the son of Alphaeus. St. Luke was a Greek Gentile and convert. According to tradition, St. James and his brother Jude joined Jesus in his second year of public ministry. He is mentioned as one of the disciples, Matthew 10:3, Mark 3:18, Luke 6:15. According to St. Paul, James was a witness to the resurrection of Jesus, and that James was a pillar of the Catholic Church. He was with the apostles in the upper room when Jesus appeared to them on that first Easter Sunday. James is mentioned along with the other apostles, Acts 1:13, in choosing Matthias to replace Judas Iscariot. According to St. Jerome, Jesus called for St. James to be called first bishop of Jerusalem before ascending up into heaven. That would be a divine installment. St. James is noted being the first bishop of Jerusalem and hosted the Council of Jerusalem in 49 AD and gave the concluding remarks. Brethren, listen to me. Simeon has related how God first visited the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And with this, the word of the prophets agree, as it is written, after this I will return, and I will rebuild the dwelling of David, which has fallen. I will rebuild its ruins, and I will set it up that the rest of men might seek the Lord, and all the Gentiles which are called by my name, says the Lord, who has made these things known from old. Therefore, my judgment is that we should not trouble the Gentiles who turn to God, but shall write to them to abstain from the pollution of idols and from unchastity and from what is strangled and from blood from far from early generations. Moses had in every city who preach him, for he is read every Sabbath in the synagogue. Acts 15, verses 13 through 21. It is important to note here that St. Peter has the final authority, being the leader of the apostles, Catholic convert, and scholar, Scott Ham states, he, Peter, formulates a doctrinal judgment about the means of salvation, where James takes the floor after him to suggest a pastoral plan for curating the gospel in mixed communities where Jewish and Gentile believers live side by side. In other words, James concurs with Peter's words and then addresses how to implement them. During these early years, St. James governed the church in Jerusalem during a time of persecution. Yet St. James never lost his integrity. He maintained a high degree of sanctity. As a Jew, he was trained to be a Nazarite, one consecrated to God, just like Samson and St. John the Baptist. He never shaved, nor cut his hair, nor took strong drink. When St. James prayed, he often obtained instant results, such as calling for rain. In the spring of 62 AD, April 10th, according to St. Eselbus and Jerome, the Jewish high priest, Herod Agrippa II, decided to arrest St. James and force him to deny Jesus. St. James was taken to the high wall to stand on the temple wall facing the crowd below, which had gathered for the Passover. Herod threatened James, calling for a denial, but James gave a great testimony before the people, telling them of Jesus. James proclaimed that Jesus is the Son of Man, was seated at the right hand of sovereign majesty, and would come in the clouds of heaven to judge the world. St. James was basically repeating what Jesus had said during the mock trial, Matthew 26:64. The Pharisees in anger threw James off the temple wall. Despite the terrible fall, James was able to struggle to his knees, lifting his eyes to heaven, begging God to forgive those who attacked him. He was following what Jesus had said, as well as St. Stephen. The temple police were ready with rocks and pelted James with rocks, but yet he did not die. Finally, James fell due to a blow on his head from a man with a club used for beating out rugs and cloths. His last words were for his forgiveness to those who attacked him. At age 66, James served as Bishop of Jerusalem for nearly 30 years. The epistle of St. James in the New Testament, written not long before his death in 62 AD, to encourage the church scattered out into the world. St. Jerome wrote of St. James' sanctity. He was always a virgin and was a Nazarite, as one consecrated to God, in a consequence of which he was never shaved, never cut his hair, never drank any wine or other strong liquor. Moreover, he never used any bath or oil to anoint his limbs, and never ate of any living creature except when a precept as a paschal lamb. He never wore sandals, never used any other clothes than one single linen garment. He prostrated so much in prayer that the skin of his knees and forehead was hardened like camel's hoofs. One of my favorite passages in the book of James is James 1, 19 through 25. Know this, my beloved brethren, let every man be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rank growth of wickedness, and receive with meekness of the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who observed his natural face in a mirror. For he observed himself, he goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But he who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer that forgets, but a doer of the acts, he shall be blessed in his doing. And that is our saint for the day, our saint for the day.
Presenting from Deeper Truth, the saint of the day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the saint of the day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
Oh, but they sure bless you.
Mike, that was a lot there, wasn't there?
Well, that was a long one.
But that was very interesting, too.
Yes, it was.
That big snake that Philip killed, that they pagans worshipped. Those pagan priests didn't like that too much, did they?
Isn't it interesting that these Jews worship, these people worship a snake, the equivalent of a pagan god, and Adam and Eve were tempted by a snake?
Yeah, ain't that interesting? Kind of related, doesn't it? It seems, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm. Kind of interesting. They didn't see the connection. It's like the old song called The Snake. The lady sees a half-frozen snake on the side of the road, brings it home, nurses it back to health, and the snake rewards her by biting her. And now that she's bitten, the bite is poisonous, and now she knows she's going to die. And he said to the snake, "Why'd you do that?" And the snake said, "Well, you knew darn well I was a snake before you brought me in."
You know, that's,
doesn't say what
that's
kind
a story that, yeah, that's a story, though, that President Trump would say at his rally sometimes.
Mm-hmm. Been an interesting day.
Yes, and we will be ready for tomorrow. I have no medical appointments tomorrow. And do you have any meetings tomorrow?
Okay. Well, you got a good report from the doctor today.
Yes, we did. That's a good sign, anyway.
Yeah, at least you're pointing in the right. You got yourself pointing in the right direction.
I hope so.
Oh, you do.
Hell, to get my
Holy
voice
Spirit's
back
gonna give you a dose of. The Holy Spirit's gonna give you a dose of. Gonna give you a dose of faith.
He's definitely did that. Thank God.
Mm-hmm.
And the consecration to the Holy Spirit. And the gifts of the Holy Spirit. That's pretty powerful, I think.
Well, if anybody out there has been listening and have heard the news about a neighborhood shooting in Texas, a little town called Cleveland, Texas, happened a quarter of a mile from where I used to live. And last night they captured the alleged assailant, and he is now in custody.
Well, that's. I don't think there was a motive. I think that he just was evil.
Mm-hmm. Very possibly could have been.
Well, there sure was a lot here, so I want to thank everybody for listening. Thank you, Mike. How's your voice doing?
No, it's hanging in there.
That was a lot.
I've been able to exercise it for a while.
Philip and James, St. Philip and St. James.
So, well, you know, the grammar school, the elementary school I went to in Phillipsburg, New Jersey, was St. Philip and James. From the fifth grade on, all the way through high school.
Great apostles.
Yeah. And they really love St. Philip and James.
Great leaders, and here they are, alive again today on Deeper Truth.
They are the reason we're still talking about Christ. We're still professing Christ.
Yeah.
If they'd have fallen down on the job, we wouldn't be here.
Yeah. I think that's true.
Well, when you come right down to it, one of them did fall down on the job. His name was Judas. And, you know, he was the most educated of all the disciples, all the apostles, Judas Iscariot.
Well, that just tells you that the gifts of the Holy Spirit, you know, knowledge and wisdom, understanding, all have to be together, knowledge and itself.
We have the same problem today. When science can't explain things by natural means, it throws its hands up and doesn't know what to do.
Well, the church has these miracles, like the Eucharistic miracle today. You know, they're powerful. And so,
you don't see a host turn into blood every day. That doesn't happen
every day. Not. It happens every day, but not where we see it like that.
Yeah.
Because it is transformed every day. Every Mass.
Oh, absolutely. I wasn't including those.
Oh. Well, we will... And I think I'll end it today because it's been kind of long with this piece right here. And, Mike, we will see you tomorrow. God bless you and thank you.
Oh, absolutely. Wouldn't miss it.
Amen. God bless you.
Our family is made up of every race. We are young and old, rich and poor, men and women, sinners and saints. Our family has spanned the centuries and the globe. With God's grace, we started hospitals to care for the sick. We establish orphanages and help the poor. We are the largest charitable organization on the planet, bringing relief and comfort to those in need. We educate more children than any other scholarly or religious institution. We developed the scientific method and laws of evidence. We founded the college system. We defend the dignity of all human life and uphold marriage and family. Cities were named after our revered saints who navigated a sacred path before us. Guided by the Holy Spirit, we compiled the Bible. We are transformed by sacred scripture and sacred tradition, which have consistently guided us for 2,000 years. We are the Catholic Church. With over 1 billion in our family, sharing in the sacraments and fullness of the Christian faith, for centuries we have prayed for you and our world. Every hour of every day, whenever we celebrate the Mass, Jesus himself laid the foundation for our faith when he said to Peter, the first pope, "You are rock, and upon this rock I will build my church." For over 2,000 years, we've had an unbroken line of shepherds. guiding the Catholic Church with love and truth in a confused and hurting world. And in this world filled with chaos, hardship, and pain, it's comforting to know that some things remain consistent, true, and strong, our Catholic faith, and the eternal love that God has for all creation. If you've been away from the Catholic Church, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today. Ours is one family, united in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We are Catholic. Welcome home.
And God bless you all. See you tomorrow.